Today's daf is Sukkah daf Nun Gimel. We are holding on daf Nun Beis and Beis toward the bottom of the page. What we're going to discuss today is the continuing with the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We continue to discuss only the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we're going to talk about the things that Hillel said at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and we're also going to talk about how our feet take us where we need to go, and there are going to be some stories about that, about people whose feet had schlepped them where they needed to go. We're going to talk about the celebration of Rav Moshe Gamliel at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and the juggling that was done, and the kida that was done. Kida is a type of bowing or type of move that a person does, putting themselves upside down. We're going to talk about the schedule of the day of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and then the Gemara is going to talk about the 15 Shir HaMalos that David HaMelech composed and how he composed them, dealing with the threat of a flood flooding out the entire world. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about how, when we talk about the blowing of the trumpets on the tenth step. So what does that mean? The tenth step up or the tenth step down? Exactly where that is. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to go through how many tekios there were each and every day in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says there was a minimum of 21 tekios, a maximum of 48 tekios each and every day in the Beis Hamikdash. So let us begin again where we left off at the two dots of Loha Yichatz of Yerushalayim. Just one quick point from yesterday, the Gemara that we read at the very end of yesterday's daf, we were running through a little bit, was that the Gemara had mentioned that this Benashal Marta Bas Baitos, the son of Marta Bas Baitos, was a very powerful man, and he would take the two thighs of a Shor HaGadol, and he would walk Ekev B'tzad HaGadol, he would walk in a very natural kind of walk, right up the Mizbeach, holding these extraordinarily heavy things. But still, Loinichu Achiv Akohanim Lasos Kain, his fellow Kohanim didn't let him do this. Mishum Baravam Hadras Melech, because of Baravam Hadras Melech, that it's better to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by getting other people involved as well. Just what we see from here is that this is a different type of Baravam Hadras Melech. Meaning, their Baravam Hadras Melech takes different forms. Sometimes Baravam Hadras Melech is to just do a mitzvah in front of many people, have a lot of people there at the time that the mitzvah is being done. Or, if everybody's doing a mitzvah, have them all do it together, rather than have one person do a mitzvah, and each person do a mitzvah individually, get everybody together. Everyone's going to be Yotzei Mikra Megillah, better to get everybody together, to have a large minyan of Mikra Megillah, than to have a bunch of smaller minyan, and that's a Baravam Hadras Melech. But over here we see a kind of Baravam Hadras Melech, where it's better to take a single mitzvah that's going to get done anyway and divide it up amongst several people, even though none of the people are going to be doing the entire mitzvah. It's just all together they're going to be doing the mitzvah. Dividing the mitzvah up amongst several people is a greater kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. That's what the poskim talk about. I forgot which early tshuva sefer, but a very early tshuva sefer talks about when you get psicha, why it is that there is such a kibbut called psicha. They should have the chas. It's his job. The chazan should be able to be the one to go and take out the Sefer Torah. Why is there someone else that does psicha? So no, but Ravam Hadras Melech is the response, that even though the job could be done by one person, we try to get more people involved. That's why you don't have the same guy who's the Baal Shachris, that's also the Baal Kore, that's also the Baal Musaf. We divide it up because of Ravam Hadras Melech. Unless there's some sort of competing principle, someone has a yartzeit or whatever, there's some sort of competing principle, like the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to the days of Slichos, that the person who daven Slichos should also daven Shar Tefillos Hayom. That's because the Slichos are assumed to be, as Rav Soloveitchik explains, the Slichos are assumed to be connected to each of the other Tefillos Hayom. So maybe it's a Maschil B'mitzvah Omrim Lo Gemar, when it's a single mitzvah, when it's viewed as a single mitzvah, may trump the concept of Baravam Hadras Melech. But the Baravam Hadras Melech, I saw one of the Tshuva Sfarim suggest that when a person gets the kibbut of Lila. So a lot of times the Gabayim are handing the mantle and the gartel of the Sefer Torah. So one of the Tshuva Sfarim says that's also a kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. Let more people be involved in the Galila by handing him the gartel and the mantle as well. I got something for the Gabayim in there. Okay, so the so that's also maybe a key of Bravam Hadras Melech. So the Gemara now we left off at the bottom. V'loi Chatzar Yerushalayim. The Mishnah said that there wasn't a single Chatzar Yerushalayim that wasn't lit up from the lights of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We described these giant menorahs that were 50 amos high, and these Pirchei Kehuna would climb all the way up the ladders to fill them. So V'loi Chatzar Yerushalayim. Tana. A woman would be able to be borer chitim, to choose pick out the dirt from amongst her chitim, from amongst the wheat, at the using the light of the Beis HaShoeva. So Tosfos right away says, wait a second, Yerushalmi asked the question, Heich boreres, heika me'ila, deshemen upsila, yushal hekdish. Isn't this a violation of me'ila? The oil, the wicks, that's all made out of hekdish, that's all the wicks we learned were made from the Mevlai Michnasei HaKohanim, it was made from the worn-out begadim of the Big Day Kuna. So isn't it a violation of Me'ila for a woman to sit there in her backyard being Mevarer Chitim, be using the light that's coming, that's shining from the Beis HaMikdash? Umishani, and the Yerushalmi answers, Dekol Umara V'Reach Ein Ben Mishum Me'ila, that there's no Me'ila with Kol, Mara, or Reach, with hearing pleasant sounds, with seeing things, using a vision, and smells of Hegdish, none of that is a violation of Me'ila. So here also, it's only Mara, they're only enjoying the vision of Me'ila, it's not a physical, the most physical type of Hana'a, and that's not a violation of Me'ila. The Kasha, the Fractosos, the Perikol Shah, in the second Perikol, Mesechus Pesachim, the Gemara says, Amrin in Allah, Me'ila hu deleka hi isura ika, that yes, we have this concept, Kol Mara V'Reach, Ein Ben Mishum Me'ila, that there's no Me'ila when there's on Kol Mara V'Reach, that means there's no carbon mi'ila, that there's no chi of mi'ila in terms of carbon, but certainly that there's there's an isser bedavar. There's certainly an isser of mi'ila. So how can they do it? How can they be mevarachitim using the light of the Beis Shoeva? V'yeshlomer de bareres lav dafka eloklomer isayi cholu livramirov ora. Our Mishnah's point, our Gemara's point rather, is not to say that this is what people did. It's not to say that the practice of people is to use the light of the Beis HaShoeva. It's just trying to tell us how much light there was, that if a woman were so inclined to violate the Avera of getting Hana from Hegdish, she would get so much light from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that such an activity would be possible using the light of the Beis HaMikdash or the Beis HaShoeva. But not that it's not that anyone ever did that, because doing that would Eino Chinami be an Avera. Okay, Chasidim V'Anshei Maisa. Then the Mishnah went on to tell us how the Chasidim V'Anshei Maisa would do all sorts of things in the celebration. They were merakdin b'fnehem ba'avuko shel or shebiyadei, and they would have these torches in their hands. So says Gemara Tana Rabban, we have a brisa. Yesh me'an omrim Ashrei Yalduseinu Shalobisha Esiknoseinu Elu Chasidim Anshei Maisa. Some of the people would say that they were Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they were so fortunate to have a productive youth that they don't have to be embarrassed in their old age about youthful indiscretions, because they were good as young people. They accomplished so much as young people. That's a reference to the Chasidim Anshei Maisa. Chasidim Anshei Maisa were people who were always Chasidim Anshei Maisa, people who were brought up observant and Shomri Torah mitzvahs. V'yesh men omrim Ashri ziknosenu shekipras yaldosenu elu bali tshuva. Then some of them would say Baruch Hashem for our older years, that serves as a kapara for our younger years, and that's a reference to the bali tshuva who did all sorts of averus in their younger years, and they started doing the right things in their older years, so they were able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to do the right things in their older years. Elu ve'elu omrim Ashrei mi shelo chata umi shechata yashuv yimchalo. Both of them said, both the Chasidim Anshei Maisa as well as the Bali Tshuva said, fortunate is one who didn't sin, and someone who did sin is able to do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a mechila. Tanya Amru Lav al Hillel HaZaken, they said about Hillel HaZaken, Kishay Sameach B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva Amar Kain, when he would be Mesameach B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so he would say the following line, Im Ani Kan HaKol Kan V'Im Eini Kan Mi Kan. So he said about Hillel HaZaken, he would say, if I'm here, every everybody's here, everything is here. And if I'm not here, then who is here? So right away, that's a little striking, because it sounds like he's talking about himself, that he's such a chashva person, that he's the whole party, that without him, then forget it. There's nothing worthy in this entire event. But that's a little bit difficult. Hillel was known as a tremendous anav. So says Rashi, manikan akol kan, he was darshaning for the rabbim, saying what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is thinking. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying at Simchas Beis Shreva that he's there. So he's telling everybody, listen, Kodesh Baruch Hu is here. He's keeping a close eye. In a time of celebration, like we learned in yesterday's daf, when we talk about the Mechitza, in a time of celebration, frivolity can win out and people can end up doing things that are not appropriate. So he's saying, with all the celebration, with all the dancing, with all the juggling, with everything that's going on, remember that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still around. Im ani kan akol kan kol zman shani chafetz bebayis hazeh shchinasi shruya bo yekvodo kayem v'yavoa kol kan. As long as, what does it mean im ani kan akol kan, that if I'm here, everybody's here? It means, so as long as I want this bayis to be here, I want my shchina to be resting in this Beis HaMikdash, so then the covet of the Beis HaMikdash will still be here and everyone will have an opportunity to come, and you can bring karbanos and you can use this Beis HaMikdash. But but if I leave, if you sin and I leave, I decide that my shechina is going away, well then who's going to come here? There's not going to be anybody here. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, that if I'm here, everybody's here. So Tosos after quoting Rashi, says, Yerushalmi mashma sheya omer al atzmo. Yerushalmi doesn't sound like imanikan akol kan imanikan mikan is Hillel talking mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds more like it's omer al atzmo. And the Yerushalmi says that he says it kineged Yisrael, that Yisrael is so, that Klal Yisrael is so beloved. He says, however, the later on when we say the next thing that Hillel says, it's got to be Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see in a moment. He also would say, not this line is could be about himself, he would say that wherever I love to go, my legs carry me. If you come to my house, I'll come to your house. If you don't come to my house, I won't come to your house. Wherever you mention my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. So says Tosos, that's obviously talking Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly Hillel is saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying at this time. Because he's darshaning the pasuk, that can't be about Hillel's name. That's obviously about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if you say that Imanikan is Hillel himself talking, not Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this line clearly is talking Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw once a skull that was floating on the water. As Rashi explains, he says, the reason that you're stuck, that this person ended up floating as a skull on the water, is because you must have been a mob boss who did this to a lot of other people who also disposed of bodies in the water. But don't worry, whoever did this to you is also going to meet the same end, that what goes around comes around. No one's going to escape the consequences of their actions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ragloi debar inish inun arvin bay la'asad mitvi taman movilun yasei, that the legs of a person are the responsible for him. The place that he wants to go, they're going to bring him to. Hanu tarti kushoy davukaimi kame shlomo. There were these two kushoyim that, as Rashi says, Hashem shoy yofim kari luhachi, that they were very good looking, very beautiful. Sometimes kushi is used just to describe an Ethiopian black person. Sometimes kushi is used to describe a very beautiful person. The isha kushi Hushis Asher Lakach, when it talks about Tzipora, the wife of Moshe. So we talk about someone who sticks out, who was unique. So the Chazal say that why is she called the Kushis? Not because she was actually a Kushis, but Ma Kushi Meshuna Ba'oro, Av Tzipora Meshuna B'Maaseha. They didn't have, so Chazal, where they lived, I guess, didn't have so much access to people of color, so they weren't used to seeing people like that. So when they would see people like that, they would say that they were Meshuna, that it was different. It was different from everyone else that they knew. So when we refer to a Kushi, the Kushi that we're, the type of Kushi we're referring to, sometimes just someone that sticks out, someone that you could pick out in a crowd very easily. So how could you pick them out in a crowd very easily? Sometimes from the refined midos, from how wonderful they are. That's Tzipora. That Ma Kushi Meshuna Ba'or, just like a Kushi is different in his or, so to Tzipora's Meshuna B'Maaseha, she's totally different in the way that she behaves. Shaul is described also as a Kushi. Why is Shaul described as a Kushi? Because he was Mishich Malamalam, Mikol Ha'am. You could pick him out in a crowd. He was so obviously different than everybody else. He was so good looking. He was it was very easy to pick him out in a crowd. So these Trey Kushai, Tarti Kushai, that were in front of Shlomo HaMelech, that worked for Shlomo, Alichra Fa'achya Ben Shisha, so from the Shlomo Havu. They were two scribes of Shlomo. Yomachad Chazi L'Malach HaMavas Tavu Ka'atziv. One day Shlomo HaMelech saw the Malach HaMavas looked a little down. I would think the Malach HaMavas always looks a little down, but I guess he enjoys his job. But say one day he saw the Malach HaMavas looked a little down. Amrlei, Amay Atzivas, why are you sad? What's the problem? Amrlei, the Kabo Minai Hani Tarti Kushai Diyas V'yacha. Because they're asking me, Kodesh Baruch is demanding in Shemayim that I bring up the neshamos of these two people, of these two Kushai. Masrinu L'Si'irim, Shadrinu L'Mechuzah D'Luz. So Shlomo HaMelech gave them over to the Shadim. Rashi says L'Si'im is L'Shadim, Shuaya Melech Aleihem. That Shlomo HaMelech was the Melech on the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. The Gemara Gittin talks about that he was not just Melech Bekipa down here, but he was Melech on the Elyonim as well. So Shlomo HaMelech was in charge of everybody. So he got a few other lieutenants, but these were Shadim, and he said, "Do me a favor, get rid of these, take them out of here, because I don't want the Malach HaMavas to be able to get them. He's looking for them." So Kimat L'Machuza, but as soon as they got to L'Machuza de Luz, as soon as they got to the area of Luz, Shechivu, so immediately they died. L'Machar Chazi Malach HaMavas Tav Kabadach. The next day, Shlomo HaMelech saw the Malach HaMavas again, and he was very cheerful. All of a sudden, he was his spirits were uplifted. Amalei Amay Bedichas. He said, "Why? What are you so happy about? What happened?" Amalei Ba'asa Debaumina Tamin Shadotinu. Exactly the place that I needed to get them to in order to take their neshamos. You see, you hand delivered them. You brought them right there to the Machuzah de Luz. That was the only place that I was allowed to take them. So Miad Pasach Shlomo Va'amar. So Shlomo HaMelech commented, "How you see Ragloi Debarin Ashinu Arvin Bay Lasa Demit Bay Taman Mavilin Yasei." That the hands, the legs of a person are responsible for him. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that his legs will take him where he needs to be. That a person doesn't end up by accident in a certain place. There's no accidents that a person ends up in a certain place at a certain time. If a person experiences something, if he's somewhere a major event happens, there's nothing that's by accident. It all happens because Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted him in that place at that time. Tanya. Amra level Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, she sameach simchas beis shweva, hayinotel shmona avuko shel or, vizorik achas vinotel achas vei noga zubazu. The most remarkable thing, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had this incredible talent. When he was mismeach at the simchas beis shweva, and it makes it sound like only when he was by the simchas beis shweva, this was not something he would do all the time. Normally someone with such a talent would do it at every chasana, at every bar mitzvah, but no, only at the simchas beis shweva, he would take 8 avukos, he would take 8 torches, and juggle them, and none of them would touch each other as he was juggling them in the air. Someone sent me an email yesterday or 2 days ago with a photocopy of a page from the Guinness Book of World Records. And the Guinness Book of World Records, the most torches ever juggled by a human being, the most torches ever juggled was 7. So the person sent an email with the title Misha Lora Simcha Spesa Shoeva Lora Simcha Miyamach, that here they juggled 8 torches. So that's the Simcha Spesa Shoeva. So someone else told me last night that Rabbi Chil Webman said, I forgot who he said b'shem, but what's the mile of juggling that the Chachamim are able to juggle, and that's the simcha that everyone's able to see the Chachamim juggle, is that very often we feel overwhelmed. We feel like there's so much to do and it's very difficult. How do we balance everything, work and family and learning and all of our responsibilities? How's it shaykh to be able to balance everything? And you see people like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who had a lot on his plate. He was a Nasi and he was in charge of the entire Jewish community, and he was this great tzaddik and great Talmud Chacham, and he was there, and the juggling, the ability to keep all the balls in the air, the ability to manage everything, was the great inspiration. That if people like that could juggle, we don't have to juggle eight torches. We only have to juggle, you know, regular people only have to juggle three or four torches. So if they're able to juggle all of these things, then that should be our inspiration, that we should be able to do the same. Okay, Kushu Mishtachve, when Rav Shimon Leal was Mishtachve, Noit Shnei Gidulav Ba'aretz, he dug both of his thumbs into the ground, Vishocha V'noshek Asaritzva V'zokef, and he would bend down, he would kiss the ground, and his body would go upright, I assume, upside down. And no one else is really able to do this. Vizoi kida. This is what's called kida. This is a type of bowing called kida. Levi achvi kida kameda Rebbe v'itla. Levi tried to demonstrate what kida looked like in front of Rebbe, and he became disabled because it's not a healthy thing for one to do to their spine. So says Gemara, v'hagram alei. Is that really what caused the Levi to become to become disabled? V'amar blazal. I thought Levi became disabled on a totally different maysa, that a person has to be careful the way he talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Levi says in the story in Maseches Tainis and Daf Chaf Hey, he talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was davening for rain, he says, Aliso v'yashavta l'cha b'marom v'yata mashkiach al banecha, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're happy sitting there in your throne up in Shemayim, and you're not paying any attention to your children, you're not paying any attention to Klal Yisrael. So to speak with such chutzpah, klapei malah, for Levi to talk like that, klapei malah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him disabled. So that, I thought, that's why it happened to Levi, not because he practiced Kida. So which is it? What was the cause of Levi's inability to walk? So says Gemara, Hava Hagram Alei. They both were the cause of Levi's inability to walk. That it was the combination of the two factors. Meaning, what does it mean? It was the combination of the two factors. One was the Avera for which he was punished, and the other was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried it out. That while he was practicing Kida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that accident happen where his back buckled or whatever happened, that he was that he became disabled. Levi have a metayel kameh de Rebbe b'timni sakini. Levi would juggle eight knives. Shmuel kameh shavur malcha b'timni mazgi chamra. Shmuel with eight cups of wine. Abayi kameh de b'timani bay. Abayi with eight eggs. V'armila ba'arba bay. And some say with four eggs. Tanya Amr b'shul ben Chanani. K'sheinu smeichem simchas beis ha'shueva lo ri'inu shina be'enenu. When we would celebrate the simchas beis ha'shueva, we wouldn't sleep at all. Ketzad, so what does that mean? How did this work out? Shah Rishona Tamid Shel Shachar. First hour of the day, that was the time for the Karban Tamid. Misham L'Tfila, and from there we'd go straight to Tfila. Misham L'Karban Musaf, and right after Tfila, we'd go straight to the Karban Musaf. Misham L'Tfila Samusafin, and right after that, we went straight to the Tfila Samusafin. So you see that not only when they brought Karbanos, they davened also. So the Tamid Shel Shachar is Keneged Shachris, but then they would also daven. They would daven. And then the Karban Musaf, they would still daven Tefillah Samusafin. Misham LeBeis HaMedrash, and then they would go to the Beis HaMedrash. Misham LeAchil V'Shtiya, and then it's Yantav, so they have to eat and drink as well. Misham LeTefillah HaMincha, and from there they would go to the Tefillah HaMincha. Misham LeTamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and then they would go to the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Mikan Ve'elach LeSimchas Beis HaShueva. From then on, it was Simchas Beis HaShueva all the time. So they didn't have a chance to sleep at all. So I, Frekta Gemara, is that really possible? Eini V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shvua Shelo Isha Shlosha Yamim Malkinos of Yashal Ne'altar. If a person takes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so we give him Malkinos and he has to sleep right away, because it's impossible for a human being to go 3 days without sleeping. So if a person takes such a shvua, we know that this is not going to happen, that it's impossible. Ela Hachikamar Lo Ta'amru Tam She'en Adavim Namnu Mi'akas Da'adadi. It means that they didn't have a real sense of sleep, that they didn't properly experience sleep in a real way, because they would just doze on each other's shoulders, but not that they really slept. The Gemara, that's how the Gemara describes the schedule of the day by the Simchas Beis HaShueva. The Pashtos Lashon this price, it sounds like this entire Seder of the Tamid Shel Shachar, Misham L'Tfila, was all because of the Simchas Beis HaShueva. Meaning if one would have normally assumed otherwise. Tamid and the Tfila and the Musaf and the Tfila, that's just part of the Tfila, it has nothing to do with the Simchas Beis HaShueva. But Lashon the price is the they describe how the Simchas Beis HaShoeva took up our whole schedule, that the Kiyum of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is all day and all night, and the Kiyum begins with the Tamid Shel Shachar and extends Kol Yom V'Kol Laila, like the Brisa elaborates. The Mishnah earlier on in Daf Mem Hei said that Mitzvah Sarava Ketzad Makom Ayi Lamatam Yerushalayim V'Chulei U'Malakdin Misham Murbiyo Shel Arava U'Ban V'Zokim Ratzom B'Tzidim Mezbeach Taku V'Ariyu V'Taku. And Tosos over there said, we describe, so they would go and they would say they would get the aravos and they would put them next to the mizbeach and they would blow a tkiya, true a tkiya. Tosov there explains taku viriyu v'taku mishum simcha. So you see that there's a simcha in all of the avodos hayom of the chag, that the simcha spreads not just to the simchas pesa shueva and the juggling acts and the pouring of the water itself, which is what it was all about. No, but all of the avodos hayom of the chag. It's all related to the simchas pesa shueva. Rav Salvechik points out in Hari Kedem Simkuf Memches that the Levush in Simen Tafrek Shesamach Dalit gives the reason for Chavitas Arava Bekarko Bekelim, the reason we beat our Ravos down on the ground on Oshan Rabba. The Kol Zeu Mishum Simcha Kumo Simchas Pesa Shueva. That's also part of the celebration. It's a joyous type of thing to do, as like the Simchas Pesa Shueva. The Lashon Levush is Va'achar Sheikifu Ima V'Gomru Oshanos, after we walk around with it and we finish the Oshanos, Nogin Lachbotos Ala Karka Ala Kli Pa'amayim Oshalosh. The minig is to beat it down on the ground or on a kli two or three times. V'kol ha-min hagim alalu sh'osim b'chag hum isham simcha t'chziv v'samachta b'chagecha k'mo sh'osim b'simchas beis ha-shueva. That all of these minhagim are related to simcha, and the simcha is all related to simchas beis ha-shueva. So Rav Salvechik explains that all the dinei simcha in the mikdash we learn from v'smachta m'fnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamin. That pasuk is mechayiv in netilas lulav b'mikdash kol shiva, like we learned earlier in the Gemara, that b'medina it's l'kachtam l'cham b'yom ha-rishon priya tzadar, etc. But in the mikdash, the din of taking lula for 7 days is a din in simcha. It's a smachtem l'fnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamin. It's dafka a function of simcha. Lashon of the Yerushalmi in the beginning of the fourth parak, b'simchas lulav hakasuv medaber. What type of simcha? Smachtem l'fnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamin. B'simchas lulav. It's the simcha of the lulav. So from there we learn all dinei simcha in the mikdash with tkios and arava and hakafos to the simchas beis hashueva, like the Rambam describes in the end of the eighth parak of Hilchas lulav, that all of them are relate to the mitzvah of simcha in the mikdash, and the mitzvah of simcha in the mikdash is noig both b'yom and b'layla. It's noig all day and all night, because the pasuk of smachtem is of simchas lulav is a mechayiv of is also the mechayiv of simchas beis hashueva. So that simcha is a chi of day and night. It reflects itself at different times with different mitzvos, during the daytime with the mitzvah of lulav, during the nighttime with the celebration of the simchas beis hashueva. However, the lashon of the Rambam in the eighth parak of Hilchas lulav halacha yudalin, the Rambam writes, Maschilin me'achar she'akrivu tamid shel ben arba'im l'sameach shar hayom im kol ha'layla. The Rambam sounds a little different. He does not sound that it's all one big kiyum simcha. Simchas beis hashueva reflects in everything you do all day. The tamid, the musaf, the tefilos, that it's all part of simchas beis hashueva. No, the Rambam says maschilin, we begin after the tamid shel ben arba'im. That's when we begin l'sameach shar hayom im kol ha'layla, to experience simcha the rest of the day and the whole night. So it sounds like the beginning of the simcha is after the tamid shel ben arba'im. Only then is really the time of the Simchas Beis HaShueva. But again, Pashas of the Gemara sounds not like the Ram, that it all was part of the experience of the Simchas Beis HaShueva. Okay, Chamesh Esrei Malos. So the Mishnah said that there were 15 steps. There were 15 steps that went down from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Nashim, and the Mishnah itself had said that they are connected, the Chamesh Esrei Malos Shebetehillim, the 15 Shir Malos in Tehillim, and these 15 steps the Levim would stand and they play their music. So Amar Rav Chisda Leumi Rabbanan Davikam Sadri Agad Dekamei. Rav Chisda said to one of the Rabbanan who was saying Agad to Shir in front of him, Amar Leish Shmiel Achani Chamesh Esrei Malos Kenegan Mi Amram David. When David HaMelech composed the 15 Shir Malos, so what did he have in mind? What was it supposed to correspond to when he composed these 15 Shir HaMelos? So Amalei Hachi Amar Biyochanan B'Shah Shekara David Shisin, when David was digging the Shisin. So remember, we discussed the Shisin. We had a whole Amud pretty much all about the Shisin and whether they were dug by human hands. Daf Mem Tesam Et Aleph. We had the Bereshis, that Al Tikri Bereshis Ela Barashis, that it was there from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. That we had a Shisin Mishesh Yimei Bereshis Nivru, from the fact that it calls a Maisi Dei Uman, that Maisi Dei Uman Truman refers to Nasa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then we also had drashas that implied that it was made by human hands. We had Rabbi Yossi that says Shisu Mechlon V'yar Na'at Atom Shemar Shirin Eli Yedidi Shiras Dodi L'Karmo Karma Eli Yedidi, etc. Where we darshan that whole pasuk about building the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. Oh yeah, and the Shisin also. So you get the impression that it was made by human hands. So when David was digging out the Shisin, so I assume this goes like the Shita that David is the one that dug him out. Kafa Tahoma Obay Lemishtefa Alma. So the Tahom, the waters from the depths, threatened to flood out the entire world. Amar David Chamesh Asrei Malus V'oridan. So David HaMelech said 15 different Shira Maluses, and he brought them down, and the Shisin went down. Ihachi Chamesh Asrei Malus Yardos Mibayle. If that's the case, it shouldn't have said Chamesh Asrei Malus. It should have said Chamesh Asrei Yardos. The Shisin were going up and up and up, and he was saying Shira Malus. He should have been saying Shira Yardos. Let them go down. He wanted them to go down. So Amar Lei Holvad Kartan Hachi It. Since you mentioned it, Hachi It Mari. You're right. I got the Maimer wrong. It's not that he said Chamesh Asrei Malos and the Shisin went down. That doesn't make any sense. No, what happened was Bishal Shekara David Shisin, when he was digging out the Shisin, Kafa Tahom Elbol Nemishtefa Alma. The Tahom threatened was floating up, kept on rising and rising, and threatened to flood out the entire world. Amar David Mi Ika Diada Ishari Lemichlof Shame Achaspa Vinashte Betoma Umanach. So David said, is there anyone that knows what the halacha is? Is it permissible to write the name on the to write the Shem Hashem on a chaspa and on a shard, and then we could throw it in there and it will cause the Tahom to calm down and will bring down the waters? So Lekha Dekamer Lemidi. No one responded anything. No one said a word. So Amar David called the other Lemer Veinu Omer Yichanik Begrono. Anyone who knows to say but decides not to say should choke, meaning gives a terrible curse to whoever decides not to say. Nasa Achitofel Kal V'Chomer Biatzmos. Achitofel makes the following Kal V'Chomer. Umal Aso Shalom Benish Leishto Amar Torah Shmi Shenichtav V'Kedusha Yimach Alamayim. If to make Shalom between a man and his wife, the Torah says that my name that's written B'Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Shem Hashem that's written B'Kedusha could be erased to create a sense of Shalom Bein Ish Leishto. Laso Shalom L'Kol Olam Kulo Alachas Kama V'Kama. To make Shalom in the entire world, all the more so. So if you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem in order to make Shalom Bein Ish Leishto by the Parsha of Sota, when a woman is suspected of being being unfaithful to her husband, so we take a Shem Hashem and we erase it on the waters. So that's a good enough reason to erase the Shem Hashem, then presumably to save the entire world from being flooded out, the Islam is also a good enough reason to erase the Shem Hashem. So right away after Achitofel made this Kal V'Chomer, so Amar Lei Shari, he said to David HaMelech, it's mutter, it's a Kal V'Chomer. This is the koach of a Kal V'Chomer, that because Kal V'Chomer is logical, a person has the ability to make a Kal V'Chomer me'atzmo. A person has the ability to be done his own Kal V'Chomer. You don't need a Mesorah, you don't need to look back. Did I hear from my Rebbeim? Did I not hear from my Rebbeim? If a Kal V'Chomer is foolproof, if it's ironclad, so a person can make a new din d'oraisa. So he made a din d'oraisa that you're allowed to do this. They're all based on Kal V'Chomer. It's a story we mentioned many times. Rashat says that someone once came to the Chazon Ish and said that he has difficulty being impressed by Torah, because the Torah that we're learning is the same Torah that was learned for thousands of years already. But in science, there's new things every day, new discoveries. There's always new things. So the Chazon Ish said, no, fakert. In science, everything was there the whole time. It's just a matter of us being smart enough to find it. It's just we weren't always clever enough to figure out what was there the whole time, the cures for whichever diseases and all the discoveries that are being made. In Torah, you can mamish create a new din d'oraisa. That's the ability of Kal V'Chomer. Use the midrash Torah and Dreshman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give every last din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the methodology to figure out the dinim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Kal V'Chomer. That means you can make a new din d'oraisa. So David HaMelech didn't know. It wasn't because of a lack of Mesorah that no one knew. It's because this wasn't a din yet. And then Achitofel made a din. Achitofel said, yeah, when the Tom threatens, you're allowed to throw the Shem Hashem. And we do find that Poskim use this kind of Kal V'Chomer Dafka in this context when they talk about erasing the Shem Hashem for the sake of Sota, that's the godless of Shalom Bayis. Rav Silver told me, remember Rebbeim told me that he once had a shayla of a Balas Tshuva, who before she had become frum, she was pregnant once and she had an abortion. She became Balas Tshuva, she got married, and she never told her husband about that past experience. He knew she wasn't a Pesula, he knew she was Balas Tshuva, right? There was no Mechel Tos, but she never told him about the abortion, about the past experience. And she was pregnant, and she was nervous that it was going to be a boy, and then it was going to be a pidyon haben. And what are they going to do? She doesn't need a pidyon haben because she already had the abortion. So she didn't know what to do. So Rav Silver said she asked the shayla. He said he knew right away what the answer should be, but he didn't have the confidence to say right away. So he said, go ask Rav Scheinberg. And Rav Scheinberg said exactly what he would have said. Rav Scheinberg said, what do you mean? It's kal v'chomer. Now, what's the whole concern? What's the problem? The husband can't give the kohen a few dollars. The problem is the bracha levatala, that the kohen's the husband's going to say a bracha on the mitzvah pidyon haben. How could he say a bracha levatala? How could we let him say a bracha levatala? You have to tell him to stop him from bracha levatala. So Shaimuk said the bracha levatala is a bizayin to the Shem Hashem. We erase the Shem Hashem to make shalom beinish leishto. If she feels that this is going to stir the whole shalom bayis to share this news, so then you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem to make shalom beinish leishto. I later found Rav Avadya has exactly the same tshuva. He has a tshuva discussing this topic, and he raises this svara as well. But he says it's a better etza. She's a balas tshuva. So what does she know so much about her grandparents and her great grandparents and whoever was last from in her family? Let her discover that somebody was a kohen along the line. Meaning not literally discover. Let her tell her husband that she discovered that she's a bas kohen. And then if she discovers that will solve the problem. Then you won't need a pidyon haben, and the husband won't make a bracha, and it will still be b'shalom. Anyway, so the psak was from Achitofel to David that it's mutter, that you're allowed to write the Shem Hashem, you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem. So kasav Shema chasba v'shadi l'toma. So he wrote the Shem Hashem on a shard and he threw it into the tome. V'nachas toma shitzar alfi garmidi, and the tahom rested, went back 16,000 garmidi. He chazed v'nachas tuva when he saw how far down the tahom went. Amar kama demidli tvei mirta valma. The lower down it goes, the higher up the tahom goes, the more nourishing the ground can be, the more moist the ground can be, and it will be good for growing things. Amar chamesh esrei malos va'askei chameser alfi garmidi v'ukmi ba'alfi garmidi. So he said 15 shira maluses, and it went back up 15 garmidi. So it was only 1,000 garmidi, 15,000 garmidi. It was only 1,000 garmidi below the surface of the ground. So that was the shira malos. Meaning we first thought shira malos was to get the tome to come down. That didn't make any sense. It wouldn't be called shira malos. It would be called shira yardos. No, that wasn't the story. The story was it had gone up. He had thrown in the Shem Hashem. That brought it all the way down. And then he needed to say 15 Shira Malos to bring it back up. Amar Ula, Shema Mina Sumcha Da'ara Alfi Garmidi. We see that water level is, when you dig down, is 1,000 Garmidi below ground. But we see that if you dig even just a little bit, you don't have to dig 1,000 garmidi underground. You dig a little bit, then you find that there is water. So what's going on? So Amar of Mishashi, Ahumi Sulma de Paras. That comes from the Sulma de Paras, meaning that water is like overflow from the Sulma de Paras, but that from the Paras River where it climbs up some ladder, but it's not really the main water level. The main water level is 1,000 garmidi below ground. Okay. The Mishnah went on to say that the Kohanim would stand in the Shara Elyon that went down from the Ezra's Shal to the Ezra's Nashim, and they had two Chatzotros. So as soon as the Kriyas Hagever happened, they blew a Tkiyah through a Tkiyah. Then they got to the tenth step and they blew another Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah. So says the Gemara, "By Rabbi Yirmiyah, lemala asiris dinachas chamisha v'kaya asara, odilma dinachas asara v'kaya chamisha." What does it mean, the tenth step? Does the tenth step mean that they were 10 steps down and 5 steps up, or does it mean that they were 5 steps down and 10 steps up? What is lemala? What's the tenth step? So take, we have no idea. Tenth step could be in either direction. Not sure. Tan Rabbanim, Mimash Mishnem or Ufneim Kedma, Eni Odesh Acharei Malheichal Hashem, El Matam Lomar Acharei Malheichal Hashem. It already says Ufneim Kedma. Why does it have to say, if they're saying that Ufneim Kedma, why does it have to say that their backs were Malheichal Hashem? Obviously, if it was Ufneim Kedma, by definition, it was Acharei Malheichal Hashem. So what's being added by that? So Malamid, Shei Porinatz when the Matrizin Klapei Mata. That the point was that when they were describing what their forefathers had done when they reached the Makom Hazeh in the Mishnah, where they said that Avosenu Shei Makom Hazeh Achorei Malheichal Upneim Kedma, and they were Mishtachve Kedma LaShemesh, they were Mishtachve to the Shemesh Va'anu Leka Einenu, but we our eyes are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it wasn't just that they turned their backs on the Beis HaMikdash, but it was disgusting. They would go and they would defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, in the direction of the Shechina. But look how we've come such a long way. We are not that way. We're gonna be better than Avosenu were. So that's why they dafka made the point of saying how their backs were Alhechel Hashem. Anu luka einenu. So says Gemara, eini va'am Rabbi Zeir. Can you really say that double expression? Anu luka uluka einenu. But didn't Rabbi Zeir tell us kala omer shema shema kilu amar modim modim? That anyone who says shema shema, anyone who says the phrase shema twice, it's as if he said modim modim. It's as if saying, it's like saying modim twice. Elahachi amri. Hema mishtachim kedma va'anu luka ve'einenu luka miyachalos. That they were mishtachim kedma. We're dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our eyes look toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it wasn't just the repeat of the same phrase, that it wasn't Einenu Leka Leka Einenu, where it's a repeat of the same phrase, two different phrases, one about that they're Mishtachaveh, and one about where their eyes are. I saw there was a discussion whether the word should be read Leka Einenu or Le Einenu, Le as in to him, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that maybe it's an Aramaic word that they were using. It would be difficult to understand why the Mishnah where Dafka used an Aramaic word. The Mishnah already says the Lamed Yud Hey. But I don't know, but so Pashas, it's Lekainin, it's Takarosh Baruch Hu, it's Le Hashem that they were looking. Okay, says the Mishnah. They wouldn't have any less than 21 tekios in the Beis HaMikdash and no more than 48 tekios in the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol yom every day, on a typical day, there were 21 tekios in the Beis HaMikdash. Why 21? Shalosh l'psichas sha'arim, 3 for the opening of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash in the morning. V'teisha l'tamish l'shachar, there were 9 for the karmat tamish l'shachar. V'teisha l'tamish l'bein arbaim, and another 9 by the tamish l'bein arbaim. So 9 plus 9 plus 3 is 21. That's how they got to the 21. Then you had add-ons on other days. Ubimusafin, ayimusifin al-teisha. On days that they had a musaf, they would add another 9. So erev Shabbos, ha'imosif and sheish, and erev Shabbos, they would add another 6. Why another 6? Shalosh lahavtil l'sa'am yimalacha, v'shalosh lahavdil ben kodesh l'chol. 3 to tell people to stop doing malacha, and 3 to be mavdil between kodesh and chol. So that was the another 6. Now the Re'im Hurwitz in the back of the Gemara says shalosh lahavtil l'sa'am yimalacha malacha mikan nirli raya nechona to cholamoid chayiv bitfilin. Unbelievably sharp comment. He says this is a raya that a chol hamoed you have to wear tefillin. Why? Because then you'd have one less. Meaning, if it was because according to Rabbi Danasi in the second paragraph of Shabbos, the third of the tekios to stop people from malacha was a reminder to remove the tefillin. And we're about to see in the Mishnah that they had all of these 3 even on chol hamoed on erev Yom Tov. Ha'acharon. So why would they need the third one to be maftil asam mimalacha? They wouldn't. They surely need 2 to be maftil asam mimalacha if people weren't wearing tefillin. Elamai, it must be that they were wearing tefillin. So anyway, so says the Mishnah further. Erev Shabbos b'toch hachag ha'yisham arba mishmona. This is the line that the Raya is really from. That on erev Shabbos b'toch hachag there were 48, and amongst those 48 were. The number, the tally of 48 comes from Shalosh l'psicha sharim, 3 for the opening up of the gates, Shalosh l'shara elyon, 3 for the shalar elyon, Shalosh l'shara tachton, 3 for the shara tachton, when they would go out for the simchas for the drawing of the water for the Beis Shoeva, v'shalosh l'mila mayim, 3 for filling up the water, v'shalosh l'gabim zvech, 3 on the mzvech, Teshel the Tamei Shel Shachar, 9 for the Tamei Shel Shachar, V'teshel the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, another 9 for the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, V'teshel the Musaf, another 9 for Musaf, Shalosh lahavtil sa'am min ha'malacha, and 3 to be maftil the people from doing malacha. That's where the Reim Horovitz's Raya is from. That even on Erev Shabbos in Chol HaMoed, they would need 3 to be maftil min ha'malacha. V'shalosh lahavdil bein kodesh l'chol, and 3 to be mavdil between kodesh and chol. Says Rashi, being kodesh l'chol, where is it? I thought there was a Rashi in Dibur Maskil. Yeah, ben kodesh l'chol. Yeah, kishakidesh yom l'odia shechashcha v'yesh miyata chiv skilu b'malacha, to let everybody know that now it's Shabbos and therefore now there's going to be a chiv skila in the malacha in Shabbos. Taflam and Hayim Beis, Rashi writes that they were memar in the tekios. They would do the tekios very quickly kidei lahosif mechol al kodesh, not to say that now you chayiv skila. No, to be mosif mechol al kodesh. So it sounds a little different. It sounds like, as Rosh Hash points out, that Rashi over there says a little different, that they would make sure to leave a little extra time to add on. So a little bit of the Gemara. Masis and the Lok Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Domar Apoches Lo Yivchos Mishava Vamosav Lo Yisrael Sheshas. Right, the Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the numbers are 7 and 16, 7 tekios minimum, 16 maximum. So Michael Mifli, in what way is the Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda says tekia through tekia achasi. They're not arguing in what was actually blown. It's just Rabbi Yehuda holds tekia through tekia is called one. That a single set is called one. For Rabbanu Sarvit and the Rabbanon know that Tkiah and Trua are independent of each other. My time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Amrkra utkatem Trua. So and it says utkatem Trua, so you see Trua and Tkiah are all together, that you blow a Trua. Rabbanon ahulu pshut l'fnei l'achrei Yehuda asa, and the Rabbanon say that it's from that teaches us that you're supposed to each broken up blast is supposed to have a tekiah before it and a tekiah after. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow.